Hilchos Purim. We've given Hilchos Purim in the past, so I might mention one or two things from last year or 2 years ago, but I'm going to try to give new stuff tonight. Only because it's very important that it's a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, let's begin with Parashat Zachar, which we talked about at length last year in terms of what is the mitzvah, how do we know that there's a mitzvah to read Zachar. There's a great question that I like to ask people. The question I like to ask people is, let's say you're in jail, and you have one day that they let you out of jail, and as a religious Shomer Mitzvah Jew, what day would you ask to be released from jail? So some people would say, Yom Kippur, and that's totally wrong, because there's nothing that you could do in Shul and Yom Kippur that you can't do in the confines of your jail cell or bedroom or living room. Vida you could do at home, anything else, okay. You want to sing with a lot of people? There's no, you don't have to leave jail to sing. What other day would you say leave jail? If you have one day they're going to let you out of jail, what day is it going to be?
Lighting candles,
okay, maybe? Or Purim? So I thought you were going to say Parsha Zachar. Why? Because Parsha Zachar is the one time that Kriyas HaTorah is actually Mida Araisa. So it's the only time that, and you could do Kriyas HaTorah. A minion, of course. So it's the only time theoretically that there might be a chiyuv d'oraisa to actually be with a minion that's actually reading from the Torah. That's the wrong answer there. That's a setup. The real answer, the Advaz, Shas HaTshuvos HaRadvaz, was one of the great post-Poskim, I think it's like one of the very, very early Achronim, like the 1500s or so. I'm not sure exactly, maybe late 1400s. But Advaz says, the next mitzvah comes your way. Whether it's a Daraisa or a Darabanan, the next mitzvah that comes your way, you should take it, because Eima Avir Nal HaMitzvos. If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you don't give it up. Even if it's only mitzvah Darabanan, and you might say, oh wait, I could wait 3 months till Parsha Zachar and do a mitzvah Daraisa, get Zachar, and Shul. No, Paskin Zaravaz, the next day out of jail, you take advantage of it. The next opportunity to do a mitzvah, whenever that will be, take that first opportunity. Anyway, that's just what I wrote my nephew for a mitzvah speech about. That's what I want to share with you. But Parsha Zachar is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. Are women obligated in this mitzvah saseh d'oraisa? That's a very big machlokas. What's the machlokas? Well, Parsha Zachar is to remember whom? Amalek. To remember that we have to wipe them out. Well, besides remembering Amalek, that's one mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. There's another mitzvah. What other mitzvah is there that relates to Amalek? Besides remembering them, destroying them, wiping them out, going to battle with them. And women are not obligated to go to battle. So therefore, some Rishonim are of the opinion that just as women are not obligated to go to battle, and here, again, there's a little stretch here. This is not the mitzvah of going to battle against the Amalek. This is the mitzvah of remembering them. Well, so those Rishonim assume that we're going to link, if they're not obligated to go to battle against the Amalek, they're also not obligated to remember what they did to us so that we should go to battle against them. And therefore, women would not be obligated to hear Parsha Zachar. Others, on the other hand, the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe, Rav Nassim Adler, in the great, great Gedolei HaAchronim, very strongly made sure all the women would always hear Megillah, would always hear Parsha Zachar, because he felt it was a mitzvah d'araisa for women to yes hear Parsha Zachar. Wait, is it a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? Is it? When do you have to do it?
You could do it
any time all year long. So it's not a say, mitzvah saseh shazman grama. That's what these posts hold. Since it's not a, it is a mitzvah saseh, but you could do it. I mean, the Torah says remember. When do you have to remember? Doesn't say when. So we make sure that we do it once a year. We happen to pick a very auspicious time to do it, which is right before Purim. It's very, you know, makes sense, because Haman was Mizera Amalek, he was Haman HaAgagi from Zera Amalek, so it makes sense to do it before Purim, but it doesn't have to be before Purim. It could be any time during the year. So therefore, it's not a Zman Grama, even though it is a mitzvah saseh. So this opinion holds that yes, women are obligated, Mida Araisa. They don't hold that thing about the fighting connected to Zachar. And therefore, this other opinion says that women are obligated, Mida Araisa, to hear Zachar. How do we paskin? Well, basically, you should make all efforts to hear Parsha Zachar. If there is a very, whatever situation, you just can't, So bottom line, halacha, women are probably, if you have to, you know, get one final psak, it's probably, women are probably not obligated, but since many hold that they are obligated midoraisa, they should make every effort, women should make every effort to, yes, attend shul and hear zachar with a minion. Last year we talked, and I just because it's so exciting, we mentioned what about hearing, if you're Ashkenazis and you hear Havamara Saradit, or if you're a Theimani and you want to hear Ashkenazis or Saradit, so what happens if you're a different Nusach than the Torah is being read? Not only that, but are all Sefer Torah the same? I don't know.
Sorry,
Torah is our what?
No, I stand up.
Yeah, they stand up and realize that Liar is down. But that's not going to be, that's just how we put the case in.
There's a spell here.
No, there's no Nakudos in the Sefer Torah.
There's a spelling
there. There's one spelling difference.
I have it in the
home. That's from last year? Okay. Ketsua Daka, relating to one of those people who are not allowed to get married to a regular person, that the word Daka, which means crushed, either is spelled with an aleph or a hey, I don't remember who does what, Sephardim or Ashkenazim. There is a difference between in spelling in one letter in all of the, I'd say 600,000 letters, but because that's what the Gemara says. But if you count the Gemara, I'm sorry, if you count the Sefer Torah, really does not have 600,000 letters, but some symbolically it does. But in whatever a few hundred thousand letters of the Sefer Torah, there is one difference between Sephardi and Ashkenazi, which is incredible if you think about it. The two communities separated for 1,000 years, there's one letter difference between the two Sephardim, which is pretty incredible. But nevertheless, it's not the same. So could I be Yotze with a Sephardi Sefer Torah? Could a Sephardi be Yotze with our Sefer Torah? So here, Rebbe Avadia says, you should try to do your own Nusach, but if you didn't, you are Yotze in whatever Nusach your shul does. I remember when I was in Yeshiva in Karen Biavna, you probably have this story in your notes. In Karen Biavna, which was the first Hezder Yeshiva, it was established for Israelis of, I guess, the 50s, of Goldwicht Zatzal, of Meir Goldwicht here at Yeshiva. His uncle, Zechon Tzadik, Zech Tzadik Lebracha, was instituted this whole concept of Hezder Yeshiva. And at that time, the kids who came to the Yeshiva, their families weren't so religious. But I mean, that's part of why he established this whole concept, to get kids from families that were like sort of traditional, sort of religious, but not so. He wanted to keep them in for Shabbos as much as he could. Because at home, Shabbos wasn't what Shabbos could be. They certainly didn't learn as much when they were at home. So he wanted to get people to stay in for Shabbos. So he said, Parshas Zachar, everybody has to be in Yeshiva. He just wanted everybody in Yeshiva as much as he could. So this is a good excuse. So some of the Teimanim and the Sfaradim and the who knows what him come over to him and say, Rosh Yeshiva, but Parshas Zachar, and it's not our Nusach. He said, stay in Yeshiva and we'll figure out a solution. So they stayed, and then the solution that they ultimately figured out, which since then many other yeshivas has adopted, and even our yeshiva started doing it. Anyone know Rabbi Dr. Shabtai? On the other side, Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai, he's a hardcore Sephardi and a very chashuv ben Torah in our yeshiva. So he instituted it in our yeshiva just a few years ago, that they read the Parsha Zachar, the last few psukim, of Parsha Zachar. They do it in all different nuschaos, and I remember when I was in Karen Biavna, the guy who did the Ashkenazi, he had to do it so Ashkenaz. Like, Vayomer HaShem. Like, not just Ashkenaz, he had to do like American. Like, there's Ashkenaz, and there's like American, and then there's Sephardi, Tammany, and whatever else have you. It was just like, stand out in my mind. Okay. Yeah.
But it's Kriya Ksiv, it sounds like, for the Ashkenaz versus Sephardi, right? Is the pronunciation actually different for Daka, the word that is it?
It's pronounced the same. Daka.
So why would that matter? If it sounds the same.
The Sefer Torah is a different Sefer Torah.
So that matters also?
Well, the mitzvah is to read, is to read something from the Sefer Torah. So if you have a different, if you're reading from a biology textbook, even if you read Parshas Zachar from a biology textbook or from a puzzle Sefer Torah, that's not a Kriya Sefer Torah. So according to me, they're reading, their Sefer Torah is puzzle. So it wasn't a Kriya from a Sefer Torah. If they're reading from my Sefer Torah, so they're reading from a Pasuk Sefer Torah. Okay. If one of you, for whatever reason, find yourself in a situation this year that you're not going to be able to be in Zachar for Shul, But you've always done it in the past, since your bas mitzvah, let's say. And this year you find, let's say you work in an ohel home. She's not here tonight. You could think about it, guys. Or you work in one of the hask homes and you're not going to be at Zafra this year for whatever reason. So, do you have to do Hataris Nedarim? He said you should try. If you can't, so bottom line, probably not Chayav Daras. So do you have to do Hataris Nedarim to disavow yourself? That's a great word. Disavow yourself. From the Chiyuv of Zafra. So here we have something fabulous which applies in other areas of halacha. Well, what did you think? Did you think it was a halacha? And now you came to my shiur and found out that it's not really, you're not really chayev. Well, that means your practice until now was not a nether because it was a mistake. It was based on a wrong assumption. You thought you were a mechuyaves, and really, you should, but bottom line, you're probably not mechuyaves. So since you did it for the past, since you're from 12 till now, by mistake, that was not a nether. And therefore, you don't have to do an Ataras Nedarim. If on the other hand, you did it since you're 12-year-old. Not only that women probably don't have to do it, but they should try. So you know it's a chumrah and you should try to do it, and we try to do it, and you always went, and you always have been able to from the time that you're 12, and all of a sudden you find yourself now you're not able to. Well then, you knew was, your mind was perfectly on target with what the actual halacha is. You did it as a chumrah, as what you're trying to do. It's the right thing to do, but it's not obligatory. So therefore, you will only, that you did what you're supposed to do. And your nohig and minhag tov gimel pa'amim, therefore it was valid as a neder. And if this year you can't go because you're working in your ohel home or your hask home on the weekend, you will have to do hataras nedarim before Shabbos, so that you won't have the, even if you're not obligated midoraisa to hear zachar per se, but you will be obligated as in as much as it's a neder to do this chumrah, this minhag tov, which you've done three times. So therefore, once again, if you did thought that you were chayeves, that's a mistake. So there's no nether if you did something by mistake. And you only have to ask that. If you knew the whole time that you're doing it, because it's the right thing to do, even though you're not obligated bottom line, so then you did it with the right kavanas, and you did something that you didn't have to do, but you chose to do three times, that is a nether, and it will need hataras nedarim. This year, of course, moving on to Zachar, this year, of course, yeah, question.
But practically, if you do find yourself in that case, when would you do the Nazarim? Let's say you had every intention to go to shul for whatever reason, some emergency came up and you weren't able to, Shabbos is over, are you doing the first Nazarim after that?
Great question. Your question is, what happens if you just find yourself that morning, you have the worst splitting headache, or you're taking care of somebody who's not well, your roommate goes to the hospital, you're with them, and you know you just can't make it to shul, so should you do Hataras Nedarim after Shabbos or that afternoon, or after Shabbos, or is there no point? You missed it already. I don't know the answer to that question. Great question.
Can't you just have in mind that you're going to hear it during that Parsha leaning?
Okay, great. So I don't want to talk about that because we talked about it last year, but just a regal achas. Some poskim do say that you could be Yotzei with the Kriyas HaTorah when we read Parshas Ki Tisa. Parshas Ki Tisa, maybe? I think the other one might be Kitisa, I don't remember. And also, the Kriya that we read on Purim morning talks a little bit, I don't remember specifically, something to do with Amalek. So some people can say that you could do that. It's Machlokas. If you missed it, make sure you have Kavana, make sure you have specific Kavana on Purim morning and when we learn Kitetze, that you have intention to be Yotzi, the Mitzvah Sasei of Zachar with this Kriya Satan.
If you do that, would you have to do a Taras Nedarim? If you have in mind that you're...
I don't know the answer to your question. Good question. Okay. This year, first of all, in terms of Tanis Esther, it's a fast day that's early this year because we don't fast on Friday, because normally fasts throughout history were always accompanied with slichos and tavlichos. We still say slichos at davening. It's an extra. I have to wake up 20 minutes earlier because it's not so terrible. I have to wake up 20 minutes earlier because there's extra slichos that we say for Tanis. And Erev Shabbos, we don't have time. Things have to get done, so therefore Chazal wanted to make us not fast on Fridays, so we fast this year Thursday. Because of that, Tanis Esther is a little bit more kal than usual. But even without that, Tanis Esther in general is the most kal Tanis. It is not a Tanis of Avelis. All the other Taniyos, some Gedalia, Aser B'Teves, Shavas Aser B'Tamis, certainly Tisha B'Av, those are all Taniyos of Avelis. This is not a Tanis of Avelis, it's a Tanis of either tshuva or is it just a zecher for what Esther did? But let's assume a talis of tshuva, and therefore it's a little bit more, the halakha's a little more relaxed. But even without it being on a Friday, in general, Tanis Esther, if a person has a headache, even if it's not a terrible headache, they don't have to fast. Do you have to make it up a different day? Call me and we'll deal with it if that happens, chas v'shalom. But again, somebody, even if it's not a serious issue, you know, somebody just has a bad headache, a headache that was warrant that would warrant them to be able to take medicine on Shabbos, which is a headache that, you know, you want to lie down for. Some headaches, you just have a mild headache and you do everything you always do. But when you have a headache that, the kind of headache that you would want to lie down, not always able to, but that you'd want to lie down, so that's probably a headache you could take medicine for on Shabbos. That's called Chole She'ein Bo Sakana. And if you have that headache, you don't have to fast. Do you have to make it up a different day? You could call me about it. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shamcham Yad Barah. Any audiologists here? Speech therapists? Only one speech therapist? There's so many OTs and nurses, only one of you?
Wow.
Okay, so there is an audiologist in our shul. She's not here tonight. She's never here in our shul. But there's an audiologist in our shul, and she would like the following. We pointed out last year, when we say that you missed a word, right? When you're reading Megillah, you're listening so carefully, you don't want to miss one word. If you miss one word, you're not Yotzei. What does it mean to miss a word? It means that your ears do not get the vibrations of that word in your ears. It doesn't mean you were spacing out. It doesn't mean you lost the place. It doesn't mean you weren't focused. It means auditorially, biologically, you didn't hear the word because the person next to you is sneezing or coughing, or there was a creaking door that was opening or closing. But if you heard the word, I don't care where your mind was or what you were thinking about, you were Yotzei. So a lot of people get very like hyper something or other about this. Keep in mind, you could keep calm and listen to the Megillah. Okay. Now, what I want to do for most of today is talk about Mishloach Manos. Last year we mentioned one point of this, but tonight we're going to build on it a little bit. But we'll start from the beginning. Why do we give Mishloach Manos? So, by the way, we're going to have a lot of nafkaminas and a lot of applications in terms of halacha l'maaseh Mishloach Manos. Some of them might adjust what you planned on giving as Mishloach Manos. So, I'm not out to get you. Listen with open ears, open minds, open hearts, and see if you could. Perhaps some of your Mishloach Manos plans might be fabulous, some of them might be able to use a tweak or two. And even if what I'm saying sounds, oh, I wasn't going to do that, so just make sure that there's at least one Mishloach Manos to fulfill the mitzvah, that you do it properly, and all the other Mishloach Manos, you could do whatever you want to do, as you'll see from what we'll see now. Okay, why do we give Mishloach Manos? Megillah says we have to give Mishloach Manos. Why were Mordechai and Esther and the Chachamim mitakin that we should give Mishloach Manos? So there are two possibilities. The Tshuva Sadeshin, who's a very important Rishon for Ashkenazim, at least, a lot of the Ramah comes from the Tshuva Sadeshin. One thing that's interesting about the Tshuva Sadeshin is that, as opposed to most Shilas of Tshuvos, which are responses to people's questions, he made up his own questions and answered what he wanted to answer. So what ends up being is that we can not only be medayik and look at the exact lashonos of his answer, but we can be medayik in his question also. What was he assuming when he asked that question? Sometimes that also sheds light on halacha and the halachic process, because he himself is the author. Sometimes you have a great rav who's asked the question and it gets in the sefer, but the question was asked by a dodo head. So you can't learn out halachas from the assumptions of the questioner. But the Tshuva Sadeshin, that's not the case. So anyway, the Tshuva Sadeshin suggests that the reason why we have to give Mishloach Manos is because Chazal wanted to make sure it's really an extension of the Seuda. What do I mean by that? Chazal wanted to make sure that every Jew has a Seuda. Every Jew, no one left behind. How do we make sure that every Jew, even the poorest of all Jews, has a Seuda? Well, if you send two foods for the Seuda to people, then you'll make sure that everyone's going to be able to have a seudah. You don't want to isolate, you know, everyone, you know, poor people against rich people. We have matzot yonim, but it's a little, you know, receiving money is one thing, but when you receive like, you know, food packages, that's a little bit more, you know, people see, and it's a little bit less discreet. So therefore, Chazal set it up in such a way that everybody should give a shalach manos. This way we can be sure that every Jew, every Jewish person, man, woman, child, will have a seudas purim. That's one reason. The second reason was given by whom? Do you remember?
Shlomo
Alkavetz. What did he do? What did he write? He wrote L'chadodi. Where did he live?
Svat.
Shlomo Alkavetz in Svat. Wrote L'chadodi. He had a different suggestion. He said that the reason why we give Mishlach Manos is as a tikkun for what Haman accused us of. What did Haman accuse us of? We're scattered, we're splinters. What's the tikkun for that? Let's do things of friendship. Now, we're going to have, tonight, we'll count 3, 4, maybe even 5 differences that are going to come out. We'll call them nafkaminas, between which is the real reason for giving Mishlach Manos. Firstly, and I think this is the question that the Trumas Hadeshin asks, can I send you Harry Potter, what is he up to? 5? What's she up to? 5, 6, 7? Can I send you Harry Potter 8, because I know you love the first 7? And a scarf for Mishlach Manos. You're always complaining that you're on your cell phone and you're wearing your gloves. You can't do the swiping. So I found these gloves on Amazon that you could do the swiping and the typing on your smartphone, even with the gloves on. And I know you're dying to get that. Can I send that to you? Or not? That, I think, might have been the Trumas Hadeshin's question. So for that, the Trumas Hadeshin answered no, because the whole point of Mishlach Manos is to make sure other people have a seuda. And it's not so comfortable to eat gloves for your seuda. Therefore, you have to send foodstuffs. According to, however, Shlomo Alkavetz, that he wrote in the Sefer Manos Halevi, he happened to be a Levi. How do I know that? Because the last 4 stanzas, if I'm not mistaken, of Lechadodi, doesn't it say Halevi? You could check afterwards. I'm not here. I think it does. So the Sefer Manos Halevi, Shlomo Alkavetz writes that the point is we want to be Marbe Reyes. We want to increase our friendship and our love and our happiness and our connection with other people. So whatever does that, if I know that you're going to be so happy with that pair of gloves that you could swipe with your smartphone, so be it. That could be your Mishlach Manos. Of course, we don't pass it like that. Another point, and this is going to be an important thing to keep in mind. There's actually a Yerushalmi that says this. The whole point of Mishlach Manos is to create this connection between people. What happens if you have a friend who's a very wealthy person? They're very, very wealthy friends. Could you send them a box of lemon heads and help me? And a small bag of Dipsy Doodles. Right, those are 2 things that still cost 25 cents. Even Dipsy Doodles, it's hard to find 25 cent bags. But are you yotzei your mitzvah with a box of lemon heads and a bag of Dipsy Doodles with that 50 cents Mishlach Manos? Yerushalmi says you're not even yotzei b'diyavid. Yerushalmi says you're not even yotzei b'diyavid if you give rich person. So give poor people. That's the solution. Either way, the point is that you have to give what is appropriate for both you as a giver in terms of your financial status and in terms of the people that you give. If you're going to give somebody something, and it's not going to make them feel that ahava and that reyus, so you didn't accomplish what the goal of Mishlach Manos is to do. So therefore, again, I'm not saying if you're giving 40 people, you have to spend $17 on 40 people. That's a lot of dollars. Better to give the money to Matanos Levyonim. Much better, as Chazal says, the Rambam says, as the Mishnah Berurah says. But at least one of your Mishlach Manos should be, if you're going to give to people who are wealthy, something that's respectable. Whatever respectable means, that you'll have to figure out for yourselves. Okay, next question. Yesterday, Sunday, I saw you on the other side of the heights. was the Broyers Carnival. So if you remember the carnivals from camp, Imash reminded me of camp so much. Back, I remember Mora Shah when I was a little boy, we had like carnivals, and it was like, Imash, the same exact thing. You know the licorice race, where two people have to eat licorice without your hands, and whoever gets to whatever point. So it's a win-win situation. One of you has to win. It's not like when you throw a ring toss, you might not win. But if you did licorice race, one of you is going to get it first, and you get to eat licorice. Okay, so I did that like 7 times. But they also had candy gram. Everyone know what candy grams are? You know candy, you don't know what candy grams are? Okay, candy grams in carnivals is that you sort of give a ticket or two tickets, whatever the candy gram costs, and then you get to write a letter to somebody with a candy attached, and then they announce, so-and-so has a letter, has a candy gram, and that person picks it up. And sometimes you write your name, sometimes you don't write your name on the bottom, so no one knows. Okay. So I figured all these people are getting candy grams. I figured I'd send my wife a candy gram. Sign a secret admirer. Hope she likes candy grams. So what would happen if I would send a mishlach manos, signed with a shliach, right? There's some opinions say you should send it with a shliach, not yourself. I don't think we have to do that, but if you want to, that's great. Mishloach, through a shliach. Okay, you don't have to, but some people do that. Let's say you send a mishloach manos, or you leave it at somebody's door, they're out delivering mishloach manos, you leave it at the door, and you don't leave a note with your name. Or a friend, someone in the building, somebody who loves you, whatever it is. So, are you, you would say, the mitzvah of mishloach manos? And this always happens, by the way. Because somebody comes back from their seuda like 6 o'clock at night, they come to the door, and they're like four mishloach manos sitting there. One or two has a name, and the other two, they have no idea who left them. So were those people, they would say, mishloach manos? The answer is, it depends! Oh, if you assume the whole point is like the Chumash Hadeshim said, that we want people to have food for their meal, well, even if you don't know who sent the food, we made sure that every Jewish family is going to have food for their meal. Even if we don't know who it's coming from. However, if it's the way Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of Lechadovi, said, that the point is to be marba ahav avreyas, to increase friendship and love and companionship, and we're all in this, we're all together, we're all loving, dovey, friendly, everything together, then if you don't know who sent it, so what are you gonna, who are you gonna have that sense of closeness to? Who are you gonna feel that, who are you, to whom are you gonna reciprocate that connection, that love, that reyas, that friendship? And therefore you probably would not be upset. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. He makes this, he was asked this Shaila, and he says it would depend on these two reasons. The Ksav Sofer, just so you know, is the son of the Chasam Sofer. Do you know what the last name was?
Not Sofer.
I'll give you a hint. Yes, he was the Rav of Pressburg, that's correct. And Ksav Sofer was the next Rav of Pressburg. Anyone know the last name of the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer? Yes, it is Sofer. Okay, so if you meet somebody whose last name is Sofer, ask them if they're a grandchild of the Ksav Sofer and his father, the great Chasam Sofer. Okay, let's say another situation. Do they still have it? Ricky's goodies? What's that?
Gilly's
goodies. Thank you. It's okay. You're ahead of me. So what, Daniel, you get Gilly's goodies and Shlach Manos when you're in Israel? You did? Okay, fine. So for all those who don't know, Gilly's goodies are these really good like chocolate chip cookies, maybe they do home fashion also, and your parents spend $700 and their daughter or their son gets like 11 cookies in a small brown paper bag in Israel, delivered at some point. Let's say they actually arrived on Purim. So they were sent, let's say, actually, I was on, my wife is on the Teaneck Shul listserv, so it's a very funny listing. The way it works on Teaneck Shul's listserv is like this. You get a listing that, like 20 lists, 20 headings. And the idea of the heading is to catch your eye so that you actually see the full classified ad, as if it were, below. So there's like, you know, seeking dermatologists. Then on the bottom, it'll say, does anyone know a dermatologist who takes this insurance or that insurance? Or, you know, seeking handyman to fix cabinets. So we have some old cabinets that need a little bit of whatever, whatever. Do you know somebody who could give good references, who's available to work at night? Okay. So then there's one that says, starving yeshiva boy. I said, I don't know, maybe there's somebody who's tzedakah, scroll down. some wonderful mother in Tzedek baked hamantaschen and wants somebody who's going to Israel to bring a bag of hamantaschen to a starving yeshiva boy who will be happy to pick it up from anywhere in Israel. Apparently. So I'm not sure what this kid is doing in Israel. I'm not sure what this mother is thinking. And who's that advantage? My father would always like, my father-in-law lives in Israel, so they get bombarded quite a bit. So he has a line that he got from one of his other friends who travels even more than he does, and said, like, you know, you get that line, oh, you're going to Israel, can I send a package? So the response is always like this: sure, just slip it under the door. So I don't know which mother is thinking that they're going to send a pound of hamantaschen. Okay, especially now you only get 50 pounds. Used to be 75 pounds. Okay. So anyway, let's say you send your mishlach manas before Purim and they arrive on Purim. So that sounds pretty good. It got there on Purim. It was sent with Shem mishlach manas. Maybe it was even mahajan because you had a shliach, perhaps. Are you yotzei? When did you send it? Not on Purim. When did they get it? Yes, on Purim. So, guess what the answer is? Well, says the Ben Ish Chai, we can say it in different ways, but says the Ben Ish Chai, it depends. It depends on what? If we assume the point is that they should have food for their Seuda, well, my friends, do they have food for their Seuda? Yes, they have food on their Seuda. They got food on Purim day for a Purim Seuda. So you're yotzei. If, however, it's like the other suggestion of Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, that the point is to increase Avav Reis, you have to do something on Purim day, that Purim was the day that we were supposed to be destroyed because of our splintering and our divisiveness, so Purim is the day that we have to do something to come together, to be friends and loving one another. So did you do any act of loving friendship on Purim? You didn't. You did it 5 days before Purim. And therefore you're not yotzei, according to that opinion. That's what the Ben Ish Chai says. Again, we just brought a bunch of different applications to the single machlokas, what the point of Mishlach Manos are. It happens to be in this specific scenario, which a lot of people do. If you sign up online for one of these Mishlach Manos delivery services, that even if they promise that they will deliver it on Purim, that the Be'er Heitiv on the Shulchan Aruch says that it does work, the Aruch HaShulchan Aruch says that it does not work. So it's a machlokas halach l'maisa. Next point in Mishlach Manos. It is important to keep in mind that, like all the mitzvahs of the day, besides from Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, all the mitzvahs of the day must be done by Yom, not by Laila. So therefore, if a person wants to give the Mishlach Manos to their friends that they're going to see at the Hawaiian party that we're having on Saturday night, don't give your Mishlach Manos, or do whatever you want, but make sure you fulfill the mitzvah Mishlach Manos on Sunday day. Similarly, you should give him Matanas Lavyonim, or you should give me money whenever you want, so that I can make sure that it's distributed on Purim day, not at night. Seuda, of course, has to be during the daytime. Yeah.
So as long as you wash for bread before Shkia,
we'll talk about that at the end, hopefully. Okay. We'll discuss that.
You can't give him Matanas Lavyonim at night?
The poor person should receive the money during the day. So you could give it to me, I'm the Gabe, let's call it. You give it to whenever you want, and I'll make sure that the Aniyim get it on Purim day.
Why is it so specific that that would be on Purim day?
I think we learned it from a pasuk somewhere. Bayom, probably says the word Bayom somewhere. Okay. And Bayom, the actual word Bayom, probably says that it should be specifically Bayom. That's it. Another question that might depend on the two sources for Mishlach Manos. Let's say I send you a Mishlach Manos, and you're the kind of person that just doesn't like receiving gifts. Or you just don't have room in your house for any more, whatever. Or for whatever reason, you're just that type of person. No, thank you, it's fine. Thanks so much, I appreciate it. It's the thought that counts. So my question is, does that thought count? Does the intent and the wish and the wanting to give them Mishlach Manos, and the person says, no, I'm ochel, keep it. Did you fulfill the mitzvah of Mishlach Manos? Well, let's think. If we assume that the mitzvah is to make sure other people have food, did you make sure he has food or she has food? You didn't. They don't have any more food than they had 5 minutes ago. But if the whole point is to increase friendship, well, now they know. Somebody cares about them. Now they know. Somebody wants them to give them a gift. And it's taka true. The thought that counts. They know. Somebody cares about them. So they did do. There was an av and reis that was generated. Now, let's talk about what to give. What things can be given. Now we know the mitzvah of Mishlach Manos, you have to give one person two food items. Can one of those food items be a drink. So this, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that a drink does work. You could give a drink and a food. My question now for you is, can you give two drinks? The answer is, yes, you can give two drinks if they're different flavors. For example, what happens when you want to give two things that are similar, but they have a little bit of a different flavor? So, the Shiloh that I saw in Shlomo Zalman's Sefer, Halichos Shlomo, which after he died, he didn't write it, but after he died, his Talmidim, his family, compiled a fabulous work of all his different writings in different places, and every place where his Pesach was recorded, and put it together in one book with Shlomo Zalman's ways of doing things. So in that Sefer, Halichos Shlomo, it says, what happens if you give, and tell me if this sounds familiar, chicken breast and chicken bottoms, dark meat and white meat? Is that considered tuminim and fulfills the mitzvah mishlach manos, or it doesn't? Now, why does it sound familiar to some of you? Exactly! The Sugya of Bora that we learned just 2 months ago was exactly this discussion. In fact, when we learned Bora, we learned Rav Shlomo Zalman's position. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Baruch Hashem, knew what he was talking about in both places, and his position fits. Just like Rav Shlomo Zalman said, that for Bora they are... What did he say?
I think
he
said this one.
Oh, excuse us. That doesn't work. We have to check this out. I'm not sure. Somebody said that in Bori that it's considered two different meanings, just two different foods. And somebody says it was one. So no, then he said it was two. No, it's one.
Maybe not.
Oh. Do you have
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll have to check. I thought he said that by Bori, dark meat and white meat is considered two different meanings. I hope. That's what he says in this sefer. I look at Shlomo and Purim. So too, for the purpose of giving two different manos, two different types of food from mishloach manos, dark meat and white meat are two separate foods. Now, I don't think many of you are giving dark meat and white meat, but let me give you something more close to home. Let's say you have a theme, and your theme is cookies, because you like to bake. So could you give one type of cookie and another type of cookie? Certainly, they taste different. They taste different. Could you give 5 chocolate chip cookies or 50 chocolate chip cookies? No, that's one min. So you give a lot of one min. It's not going to be mishloach manos. I don't think the chocolate chip and the cookie are going to be counted as two minim. That discussion is don't laugh. It is actually, they don't talk about this, but they talk about some kind of dish that you sort of fish with eggs on top. I don't know exactly what it looks like. I'm not sure I want to know what it looks like, but that's discussed already in the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch. Is soda considered a min? Let me start off like this. Water is not considered a min. So therefore, if, for example, you were planning to give something and Poland Spring water, so you will not fulfill the mitzvah of mishloach manos. As it's what it is. So, what about seltzer? Says Rabbi Yashiv, let me start off with this. Did I say a story recently? I told this story recently, I thought it might have been here. Of when I spoke to Rabbi Yashiv, when I went to visit Rabbi Yashiv a few years ago. Did I tell you the story? What was the story? Do you remember the story? Okay, so the story was like this. I went to visit Rabbi Yashiv, so I did tell it here. One time I made up a shiloh so I could speak to him. That we're not going to say that story. Then I just happened, some other people, some fellow in the mirror was bringing a group of students to visit Rabbi Yashiv. I tagged along just so I could get to see Rabbi Yashiv, that's all. And I went in. While I was there, so we were standing there, and he has his like gadbaim who shoot questions at him that they had been asked to find out what Rabbi Yashiv's position is. So while I was there, one of the questions that the gadbaim was shooting out was, what bracha do you make, or could you make kiddush on bubbly wine? Like joivin and bartanura. So Rabbi Yashiv responded, it's just wine with some bubbles in it. It's fine. It's fine. They just put bubbles in wine. It's fine. So that makes sense with what I'll tell you right now. Can you give seltzer from mishloach manos? So, I saw today, in the name of who? Rabbi Yashiv, that seltzer is not good for mishloach manos. It makes sense, based on what I heard from him 10 years ago, it just happened to be the one question I heard, 10, 15 years ago, that, what seltzer? It's just water with some bubbles in it, so just water. So, that makes sense. Okay, let's talk about soda. Is soda water, seltzer, whatever? Or is it something?
It's flavored.
So, is soda going to be a kosher thing to give for mishloach manos? So, Poskim Yashiv says, that yes, flavored soda will be considered Mishloach Manos, will be considered a min. What question do I not know the answer to? What about flavored seltzer? Right? Raspberry, orange, lemon, flavored seltzer. Is that a real flavor? Is it not a real flavor? I don't know the answer. So I would avoid. I'm not going to give that. I wasn't planning to anyway. But I don't know if that would or would not constitute a min. That's what I'd avoid. But soda would. Now the next question is, can I give two different sodas? Can I give a bottle of Coke, and a bottle of orange soda, or root beer? Are they just water? Well, what did we say about two types of chicken? It's all chicken, right? Chemically, the tops and the bottoms of chicken are probably relatively similar. There might be some difference, I don't know what it is, but nevertheless, they're different flavors, so it's considered two meaning. So does Coke taste like Fanta? No. Do they taste like ginger ale? No. So two different flavors, and therefore you could use them as two separate meanings. So therefore you can give a Mishloach Manos of ginger ale and Coca-Cola. That will be fine. That will be a proper Mishloach Manos with two meaning. Yeah. We'll get to tea.
And then also, from a societal perspective, seltzer really is considered a different drink and it has more importance than water. Why would that still not be considered?
I guess because the way Rabbi Yashiv understands bubbly things is that they're just the thing that have CO2 in it. That doesn't change what it is. Just based on what I heard from him.
What about flavored water?
So let's not call that water. Let's call that flavored drink. Let's call it water-flavored strawberry instead of strawberry-flavored water. It'll work better. Okay?
Is it like a high halakhic source that said water isn't good for chocolate?
I don't know what the source is. That I saw the person that I saw today just assumed that water doesn't good. They said in the fridge. I don't remember what their source was. It makes a little sense to me because that's not a min. It's just... It is.
Technically, you can get it from the tap.
I mean, nowadays we're a little bit, you know, we're the kind of people who buy sponsoring water, especially those of us on the West Coast, you know what I mean? So, and Tina, because you can't drink water in New Jersey. So, West Coast, they do it because it's cool, and New Jersey, they do it because it's poison. So, either way, I think that's just, I think that's a little unusual from a historical perspective to consider water like a specific thing. I don't think water is deemed as a specific species. But I don't know the source why water isn't considered good. Okay. We have our jelly bellies that have been the theme of this year for the past, how many, 4 years or so? Okay, so we have here, who could name this flavor? That was very quick. Wow. He's a professional jelly belly. Okay, and this is what, mocha or something?
I think it's Irish
cream.
Irish cream, marshmallow, mocha. Okay, I'm sure I'm wrong because you seem to have a much better bakias in this area. So, can this be my Mishloach Manos? Well, in terms of the fact, are these two meaning or are they not two meaning? Do they taste the same or not?
How is that one way to find out?
I assume they do not taste the same. If they do not taste the same, it's two different meaning, and therefore this would theoretically be considered two different meaning. Is this a proper Mishloach Manos? So I mentioned before that it's not chashuv. It's not chashuv. It won't be proper. It won't be something that would generate friendship between people if you... I remember when we were, like, little, we used to, like, wanna, you know when you have a friend that you want to, like... I don't know, boys do. I don't know if girls do. But boys, like, try to offend their best friends as much as they can. That's how they're friends. By being offensive and obnoxious. It's a boy thing. Don't worry. So we would try to give things that would be, like, you know, like... peanut and a jelly bean, as a Mishloach Manos, like they have a raisin and a third of a peanut, something like that. So, even though those are two different meaning and two different jelly beans, two different Mike and Ikes, they will be considered two different meaning, but in terms of chashivos, that won't be a proper Mishloach Manos. So therefore, it should not be given. I would say even if you had two boxes of Mike and Ikes, it might not be proper. If they're big boxes, that would be bad. Yeah. I didn't see anywhere that you have to give a kazayas. That could be it because I didn't look for it. But I don't remember offhand seeing Right? Not, neither in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't think the Mishnah Berurah says it, I didn't see it in Kahn. I don't remember if anyone says it in the Kazayas. It could be that you have to, and I'm just not sure if you need a Kazayas for that. Yeah.
The whole point is making sure that they have food for the Suda, and in general, right, at least according to an opinion, then wouldn't candy in general...
100%, excellent point. Lieb is pointing out that if the Trumas Hadeshens, if we're going to go with the Trumas Hadeshen, who says that the point of Mishloach Manos is to give you food for your Suda, lemon heads goes only so far. It makes people happy, it makes us smile, it makes me remember my youth when I used to sell them, and claim that the money was going to tzedakah, and they cost 25 cents when I was in 7th grade, and they still cost 25 cents, which is remarkable. But that's for another time. I went to a wholesaler on Coney Island Avenue. There's a wholesaler, Wolf's Wholesale Candy and Tobacco. I didn't buy tobacco, but candy. I bought them by the box, and I would sell them at school in Shiva Flatbush, and I would give... Details are less important. But yes, lemon heads make us happy. But the lemon heads, could they be a part of your Suda? Some, I agree with you, Liba. I think it is proper, and I think this is very important. People should keep in mind that at least, again, it might be expensive to do for everybody, but at least one Mishloach Manos that you give to one person, you should give two food items that can be a part of their Suda. I do think that that's important. I don't think a chocolate bar and a box of lemon heads will do that. Even if it is a chocolate lover's, you know, a chocolate lover, but they're not going to have a chocolate bar, a Hershey bar at their Suda. Or a Butterfinger, even if they don't have Butterfingers. So there should be some that can be used for a Suda. I don't know if it has to be a Suda for 20 people, even if they're having 20 people, but it's something that should be, that could be something that appropriate for a person's Suda. Yeah. 100%. Dessert is a very significant part of the Suda in my eyes. Okay. The next point that we'll talk about is, you might have heard this, that food, Mishloach Manos, the mana, the word mana has a connotation of foods that you could eat that are already ready. If I give you some raw food that you have to go ahead and cook, that's not called a mana, and therefore if I give you raw meat, that will not fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. I did not fulfill the mitzvah at all. But let's talk about some permutations of that. You know those tradition soups? You know, or some meals in a cup, soup in a cup or something like that? That you sort of just add hot water from the hot water urn or the hot water thing at work? So there, you don't really have to cook it, but it's not cooked. You have to do something. So on this, Eliyashu says that since it's so easy to make, you just have to pour in hot water, that would be considered Mishloach Manos. So if you wanted to send one of those tradition cups with something else, that would be, that's how you can have it a meal, I think. No one made chicken soup before. That certainly would serve two people, I think. That would be good. What about somebody, I don't know if this is what you meant before, but what about when you give something, spices, boxes of tea, cans of coffee, drink mixes. So here you're not, what are you giving? You're giving something for people to eat? Well, no, you're giving them a flavor so that they could flavor that which they will eat. You're giving them the flavor that they could add to water and make themselves a drink. So here, the issue is not that it's raw. The issue is that you didn't give them food. And therefore, Rabbi Yasha writes that a box of tea, even though I do like tea, and if you do want to buy me tea, please get me Lemon Lift. Okay? Not Bigelow, because that's tea. I like the herbal special seasonings, Lemon Lift. No, Lemon Lift is Bigelow. The lemon one from special seasonings, that's non-caffeinated. That's why I like it, in case you can't get any tea. So since all these things are not foods that you eat, it's not the food itself, they just flavor the food, they will not constitute a mana, and they will not fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. If you want to give it, if you're having two manos and you want something extra, do whatever you want. With the additional Mishloach Manos packages, with the extra food items, besides the two basic food items that you have to have, that you can do whatever you want. But as far as the two basic food items that are required, you cannot give anything that's just a mix, because that's just the flavoring for your drink. Yes? Great, let's talk about that right now. Great question. So I'm going to ask four questions. One of them is what you just asked. Can you give, it's a little bit mean, but again, it's the kind of thing that boys like to do. Can you give candy to a diabetic? Could you give a beautiful chocolate cake to a celiac? Could you give rabanut to somebody who only eats madats? Could you give something milchiks to somebody who, you know, is spacious? Byzantines. So this is all the same question. Basically, somebody who's not going to eat what you're giving them for either health reasons, for religious reasons, whatever the reason might be, can you give them that thing that they're not going to be able to eat anyway? So, Rabbi Yashiv, and anyone know who his son-in-law is? Or his brother-in-law, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if son or brother-in-law. Zilberstein is one. Isn't Ruchayim Kanievsky?
I think he is.
That's his son, right? Right. Ruchayim Kanievsky and Rabbi Yashiv both paskin that you are not Yotze if you give candy to a diabetic, cake to a celiac, Rabbanut to somebody who only eats badats, milk to somebody who's fleshless, all the same points. Somebody who's not going to be able to consume that food, you're not Yotze. However, Shlomo Zalman says, yes, you gave them food that is ra'i for most people. They can give it to their friends. It's edible. It's kosher. They can give it to somebody. Even if they themselves don't eat it, it's usable food. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman is making and says, you can fulfill the mitzvah with this. You ask, can you send something milchik if you think that most people make flesh of surahs? Not just most people make flesh of surahs, but the halacha actually is that you should have basar at your sa'uda. I haven't seen anyone discuss it. I'm pretty sure. I think you could. You want to make a milchik? You could have milchik and fleshes and suda. It's a little bit complicated. That's something about Shavuos. I think you'd probably give sometimes milchiks. If it's, again, we're talking about the basic things. If you're going to give something like a cheesecake, I'd be very happy to get a cheesecake. You can get me lemon something, but that didn't count, so you have to give me two other things. So we have to make a cheesecake. I'll figure out what the second thing will be. Okay. Let's finish with the Sa'uda itself. Why do we have a Sa'uda? So, Sa'uda, of course, is one of the mitzvos of the day. It's not just that we like having Sa'udas, it's that it's a chiyuv for every man and woman and child to have a Sa'uda on Purim, one of the four mitzvos of the day. There are two reasons given. One is something that we are familiar with from Hanukkah. What did the Yevanim want to do? They wanted to destroy us spiritually. So how do we celebrate? By reciting Hallel and Al Hanisim. But we don't celebrate with any physical, we don't celebrate with Seudos, and there's no mitzvah Seuda on Hanukkah. Because they want to destroy us spiritually, we celebrate spiritually. As opposed to Purim, where Haman wants to destroy us physically, so we celebrate physically by eating. That's one reason why we have a Seuda. Because we're commemorating the fact that Hashem saved our bodies, right? Like Hitler didn't want to just undermine Judaism, he wanted to destroy Jews. So imagine us. So similarly, Haman wants to destroy us physically, we celebrate physically. Another suggestion is that it's a zechel nes. All the nisim that happened and all the yeshuas that happened occurred through seudos. So as a zechel nes, we have a seuda to remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us through those seudos. Those are the two reasons. Now, a few points. First of all, this year, Purim is on Motzei Shabbos. So, of course, the Seuda will be on Sunday. The Ramah, however, writes that there is a mitzvah to have a little bit of a Seuda, to be married with a Seuda on Motzei Shabbos. I mean, it's always great to have a Malka, but especially on Leil Purim, the night before, even though you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Seuda on Leil Purim, but at least for Ashkenazim, the Ramah writes that you should be married with a Seuda on Leil Purim. Now, the clock has changed. So now my Mshal Shudis is not going to be till, let's say, 6 o'clock. Finish at 7 o'clock, 7:30. I have to have another, I'm going to eat more food at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. The only way I could do that is if I have a smaller Shal Shudis. Then maybe I'll be able to have a nice little, I don't know if that's your formal Seuda, but then I'll be able to have some mini party, whatever they're going to have at that Hawaiian thing on Motzei Shabbos. So should I lessen my consumption of Shal Shudis on Shabbos? So that I could enjoy, so I could fulfill this halach of the Ramah, to have a Seuda, to be married with Ketas B'Seuda on Leil Purim on Motzei Shabbos this year. Believe it or not, this question has been discussed. And one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Orach Chaim, that talks about Yom Tovim, is the Magen Avraham. Incredible. Rav Avraham Gambiner from the 1600s, just beyond incredible. And one of the commentaries on him is the Machatzis HaShekel. Machatzis HaShekel says that you should have in mind when you're eating Shalosh Shudas to eat a little bit less so that you'll be able, I mean, some people could just eat as much as they want on Shalosh Shudas, and then they could also eat as much as they want on Motzei Shabbos. But for those people that aren't able to do it, and they have to do things with some kind of cheshbon, zikuzon, you should keep in mind that you're going to have a little bit more Motzei Shabbos. You know, limit your consumption to Shalosh Shudas so that Motzei Shabbos you'll be able to, you know, have that little bit extra for Motzei Shabbos. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, points out that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring this. And perhaps the Mishnah Berurah didn't bring this because he thought it wasn't true, and it's not right to limit your consumption of your Shabbos meal on this Shabbos afternoon in order to have a Motzei Shabbos. Just to finish off, in terms of the Zman for the Seuda, the Halacha is, and again, if you already have your Seuda organized, then you're going to every aunt so-and-so or grandma so-and-so, you'll go whenever they call it, but ideally, a person should have their seuda such that the majority of the meal is eaten before Shkia. This year is very easy, because since we changed the clock, Shkia is not till 6:50. So even if you start your meal by 5:45, you'll probably have the majority of the food at least served and, you know, initially eaten by 6:45. But on years when it's a little early, it could be a little bit tricky. So that is, and of course, Purim goes even after the days are over. The day's over, Purim goes until you bench. And that's why even if you bench after Shkia, after Tzeis HaKochav, you bench at 11 o'clock at night, you could still say Yalev Yavo, unless you daven Maariv in between. And therefore, we will conclude with the very, 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 very last words in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Ramah and Hilchos Aruch Chaim, where he talks about the question of how much seuda, whatever, I don't remember his exact point, of being marbe b'seuda, and he says, Tov lev mishtet tamid. It's good to be happy. So Hashem should hopefully make us all happy and give us all the things that we want and we need for ourselves, and we should be able to make other people happy this Purim. And please keep in mind that the Ikar Mitzvah Purim is not the Mishlach Manos, it's not the seuda, it's Matanos of Yonim. So whatever amount of money you might have earmarked for Mishlach Manos, far beyond that should be your Matanos Avyonim. And even if this year can't be so, whatever, so much, it should have in mind in the future, you should keep in mind this is the Ikar Mitzvah. Because what's the greatest Simcha, says the Rambam? The greatest Simcha, well, he doesn't say it like this, but I'll say it like this. You could be Hashem. You could be like Hashem. You could be like the Shekhinah. Just like the Shekhinah is misameach people who are having a hard time, so too if we are misameach people who are having a hard time, we could be domel Shekhinah. So we should all in our own little ways become as much like Hashem as we could. Misameach people, and in return Hashem should be misameach us. Mm-hmm.